If you would turn with me, Violet, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 127. So all I gained was when I put out a preacher read one or two verses at the beginning, because you know it could be quite a long sermon. And it's what I'm preaching on is just a couple of verses, and we'll be going back and forth to these verses. But especially focusing on the verse 1. And the word of God says, except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain and build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wake it in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth is the last word. Love God and Father, we thank you and praise you for your loving kindness to us, Lord. And I pray that today, as we look into your word, that your word would have the forethoughts in our minds. Lord, I pray that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would bring the honor and glory that you would bring the honor. And Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, Lord, that you would hide me my faults and all my shortcomings, and that Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be all the glory to us. So, Lord, I pray that you would be with us this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, I got here this morning, and I saw a little blue pole that happened, but when I took a little bit of a sneak through it, and there were some pictures of the church being built, this church being built, and the foundations being cut, and the slab being poured, and the structure going up. And I thought, wow, that could certainly be one of these things as well. It costs a lot of money to build a house, to build a structure, and it would cost a lot of money to build this structure here. If we had to replace it today, it would be when you build it, you want to build it right. And I look at this building, I think of the Sunday school rooms and this sort of building, and all those things that go with it, I'm talking about. Well, Pastor Buddy was sharing that after they built it, closed the doors, there was a cyclone going through. And fortunately, the project manager had said, I want you to put more screws in this wall because you've got it too far apart. They're closer than normal, and it's good to test. Praise God. And so when we build it, we want to do it properly. The cross is probably one of the more expensive things that we can do in life. We buy a house or get a house built. We've renovated some parts of our house, and you want to have the finishes right. And you want to have someone who's going to do a good job on building your house. You want to have the design right, you want to have the plans, you want to have the tools, and the materials, the skill, and the discipline to finish that job. You don't want to have half of these jobs. My daughter Amy had a house built, and she selected a reputable builder. He was renowned for his high quality work, and you could see it in the house. You could see that she, in consultation with the builder's wife, were able to get the finishes that she desired. It's quite something. Well constructed, well constructed. But when we were first married, we bought a house that was built by a big company, and it was built for a price. And you can tell that it weren't quite there. It was a good house, praise God. But the finishes weren't quite what we were. And so, builders of houses get their reputation by building houses. Building them right. And so builders want to advertise and put signs out the front saying, this is what I'm building out. I want you to come and have a look at that building and see. And you know, when you see the building, you might be able to do what you're doing with that part. Look. You see how it's going. And then later on, you get a little bit about that house. The word of mouth is very important. satisfied customers might sing in their praise to somebody else. Though someone says, "Well, I want them to do it my way. I want them to do that for me." And I think that the builders would be very happy if they heard Owen Strouding, "What book did I build? What did I do?" And in fact, most trades were a bit like that. My father was a mechanic. He was in a mechanic shop and had a sign for hourly rates. Remember? Yeah. If I do it, it's $50 an hour. Probably a lot higher than that now. That's what it was then. If you stay and watch, it's going to be $60 an hour. If you stay and ask questions and give advice, it's going to be $70 an hour. If you stay and help, it's $100 an hour. I saw another sign that this wasn't in his workshop, but if you work on it before you bring it to me, it's $200 an hour. But there's that Michael Hawks work. That Michael Hawks work. You know, sometimes we sit back and say, "Look what I'm done," and that's not what it should be. Because it is the Lord that builds the house. Now, I look at this congregation and see people here, and that's the church. And God builds the church. And so the Lord is building his church, but this church, not just the buildings. And that's the blessing. You know, one of my favorite verses in Scripture, the book of Revelation, where it talks about the fact that every tongue and kingdom and nation is singing and glory. God has people from quite a few nations and kingdoms from in this church. And I praise God for it. The blessing, it doesn't matter where you come from, if you have Jesus Christ in your life, you're in the same family. Sorry. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're my brother and your sister, and you might not like that because you come through the family. All right. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. The context of this is the Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples, and this is one such thing we talked about this last night, with his disciples. And he said to his disciples, "Who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And the disciples gave a few responses, and then the Lord asked, "Who do you say I am?" And in verse 16, he said, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But rock, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus Christ, the rock. Jesus Christ, the foundation. And Jesus Christ is going to build his church on that rock. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Why? Because Jesus is the builder. Jesus is the builder. He should be the builder. He should be the one that has the sign at the front of the building. Amen. He should be the one that we should be saying, "This is what Jesus has done." Yeah. And that's what we should be doing. And yet, God allows us to work alongside him. Fear and trembling this morning in John 1st chapter 3. Anyway, we'll turn there. He stopped where I'm going to take up. It's interesting how the Holy Spirit gives me sometimes different messages on the day. And he does a wonderful job at doing that. And he was talking about family and growing. I'm going to talk about building. And in verse 9, we will take up where God finished. "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another builder thereon, but every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than it is laid Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day he shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. Now I can preach all day on the building. I want to talk about the building today. Jesus Christ is the master builder. He is the architect of the church. He is the overseer, master builder. And we are just pay workers. We are just contractors at best. And we need someone to oversee all that sort of thing. Jesus Christ, the Lord, has built this church to what it is today. It means the God of men and women that have served and worked alongside the Lord Jesus Christ in many ways today that the Lord has built this church. The Lord is building this church today. And he will continue to build this church today if we allow him. Except the Lord build the house of labor in vain that building. What does that word vain mean? Well, that vain word there means emptiness. It means vanity, falsehood. It means emptiness, nothingness, worthlessness. And figuratively means idolatry. You know, when it says, take the Lord's name in vain, that's the same as the word. It also talks about in Ezekiel about false prophecy. That's the same thing there as well. Now, if we say that anyone else is building this church, then it's like idolatry. It's like a worthless thing that if God's not in it, it's worthless. You know what? In our pride, we forget that. We forget and say, look what I've done. And our Lord is the real builder. He is a real keeper. We'll have a look at that in a minute. And we should have the sign at the front, Jesus did this. You know, John was talking about spiritual fruit in our lives. Spiritual fruit in our lives. We should see and say, if you see anything good in my life, Jesus did that. That should be the sign. If you turn to Matthew chapter 7, we see people who didn't get it right. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Volume chapter 7, Matthew. Volume. But in verse 21, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I confess unto them, I never knew you, apart from them, ye that were in heaven. Why does that happen? Why is that passion described there? Well, I believe it's there because of the previous verse talking about the fruits that people will show and by those fruits you will know them. And these guys thought they had it right. They thought that they could do things to get glory. Mm-hmm. Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? Wasn't I a good person? It's for how we get glory, isn't it? It's for my grace that we are saved, our faith, and not of ourselves, and it's the gift of God, not of works. You know, and it's the same with the church. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. God made today, we are in Ephesians chapter 5, about the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. And he's washing it by the water of the eyes think when I am in that spot or in that spiritual place, and gave up wanting to be ordinary and came to the place of the Lord. But you know, we get it wrong when we don't view the Lord Jesus Christ as spirit. He is the one that saves. He is the one that builds. He is the one that I know there are many people from history and from the script itself that take the credit and the odd brings them and puts them in their place. I think about Babel, just about 400 years after the flood. You know, Shem was still alive then. He was still alive, actually, when he came to the That's right, for that to do that. But you know what? He would have been there to tell them about the devastating judgment that God could be an object when they're not going the right way. And so, in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 3, they decide to build a tower that goes to heaven and listen for what we are going to do. And they said one to another, there it is, let us make it. Burned them through it, and they had bread and stone and slime, they had the water, and they said, let us build us a city, and a tower whose top may reach up to heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Hear that? Let us. And so, God taught a lesson and he sent confusion to the Israelites. Development changed and that the only little. Imagine what we went out in confusion. And the groups not being able to communicate to other people. And then there was Samson. He only got God really in his head, amen. He said, Lord, if you allow me, I have a dog with Philistines, he bowed himself, and with his wife, pulled those two pillars down, and there were more pillars in there than there were in his life. And of course, he wanted Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel. Think about what he said. It's not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of kingdom by my, the might of my power, and for the honor of my majesty. God, so now into the wilderness, he opened us. Then he's going down in his head and his body, and you know, but God preserved that people. So his enemies could have just killed him because he had no protection over the God. James chapter 4 verse 13, you look at the businessman and he doesn't consult God. He says, let's go and make a business happen here in this city. And God says, what is it? You're not promised to not promise to God. What about the rich man who planned in Luke chapter 12, and he planned and built silos and all the grain, and God says, when you finish, the salt will come. So that doesn't mean we don't stop doing things, that doesn't mean that we stop because we want this church to be going and strong and sound and perfect. Will Jesus come? We want that to happen, and we need to follow God's design, and we need to follow the blueprint. We need to be like the wise man who built his house upon the rock. Doing hearing God's word and doing it. But, you know, see, the foolish man, he heard God's word, but he didn't do it. We need to be like that wise man. Otherwise, we'll be like the foolish man, and this church fall flat, this church will fall flat, and bless the time when God's word. Well, unfortunately, sometimes I've been foolish in my life, and most of the things And in my heart, I can tell anyone at the time, this is what I've told a number of people since, but I've been teaching in school for 18 years. And I was pretty settled, I was pretty stayed in that position, pretty secure. And I said in my heart, at the beginning of the year, year 18, beginning of the year, I said, I'll be one of those big teachers who will start in the school and finish and retire in the same school. Couldn't have said that. I should have said, God has given me this job, God has kept me in this job, and if He wills, I will be here when I retire. God didn't say that. Halfway through the year, I got called to the principal's office and said, we've got two mental health conditions and one doctor number, and one of the activities we have to do. I got transferred. Last day of term, no fanfare, you are starting school at Lockhart Central School, 70 kilometres away from Wagga, then you have to drive back to work today. Okay, Lord? What's happened. It's been good. God has been just one of God's put you there. And after a few years, I was sick of the travel. I got sick of some of the students there because we had a fair amount of that coming through. We had some problems with the executive and it was very difficult to work there. And so I applied for transfer back to Wagga. And it's been in for about 10 years and then things changed. I was very happy to have a doctor. And I got a phone call from the department saying you're going to be transferred back to Wagga to Brimley High School. I want you to report to work first day of term one of the year. And I thought, I don't know. Happy in out. And so I prayed to the Lord and I said, Lord, if you want me to stay here, then you arrange it. So I ran back to the department and said, look, I really want to stay here. I called my principal to change things around and have part-time living without pay from the kids in the church for 3 days. And I said, it doesn't happen. Never happened before. Never happened. So I told the boss, and she said, I don't want you to go. But they said, you've got to go. Anyway, so I prayed about it, and I trusted the Lord with all my heart, and I went to all of my own understanding, and I acknowledged the Lord, and I got a plan for all the city to stay. Amen? Praise God. So, it's all about what God is doing. And we need to recognize Him, we need to acknowledge Him, we need to admit that He's the one that's in control, and when that happens, it can do nothing. When God is in the mix, impossible can happen. That would be an impossible thing to get out of the prison when people are still amazed. I'm still at lockdown rock at the But if we read in our verse that we read this morning in the book of Psalms, not only does the Lord build the church, but He keeps it. Except the Lord keep the city, a watchman wake it above in vain. And you know that word keep is the same as watchman. Same word, same Hebrew word. And that word to keep means to guard, keep, protect, to save life, and that's what the Lord does. But notice that the watchman still does have a responsibility to keep awake. He needs to be awake. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ warned His disciples in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come into you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. There are people who want to sneak in, and they want to attack, and they want to cause problems in the church. And big brother of the Lord, we call them wolves, we call them dingoes. Say, Lord, my name is a dingo. Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 16, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He talked about their doctrine. Someone comes in and says, when you change the doctrine, a siren should go off. Mm-hmm. Fire alarm's blowing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Fire alarm should go off loud and clear. Fourth one. In the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3. He gathered the elders from Ephesus and he warned them. He said, I'm going to be part of going to Jerusalem. I'm going to die, not be around anymore, and when I do go, be careful because wolves will come in. And wolves want to tear apart, they want to rip up.
Over 2.7 kilometers of not fence, but wall,
10 guys on this aircraft, all put up. They were working in conditions that weren't good. And they weren't using new blocks, they were using old gel blocks, and they weren't doing the stacking tiles with jet bubble. Think of the overgrowth that would be there, growing up through those rocks, and they had to clear all that dirt just to get the rocks. And then, because that was rubble and overgrowth in 70 years, not just 1 or 2 years. And then they had opposition from the enemy from without, and they had opposition from within. But they had not God. And God granted him time, safety, people, and materials to build the wall. God did that. Think about Solomon and the temple that Abraham had prepared. All the stuff that he needed for the temple, he went out and got more and built a great temple. An amazing temple. I think it was one of the wonders in the ancient world. And he did that. But you know, the passage of scripture that we read today in the book of Psalms, Psalm 127, and the title is the Song of Degrees, for Solomon. Except the Lord built a house, they gave him a name. I think that was directed from David to Solomon. About the building of the temple. And you know, in the end, Solomon did acknowledge in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, Solomon said, the Lord had said that he would dwell in the darkness, but I would build a house, and I would make it to be a place where I dwell in broken tents, by the place and blessed all the congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, since the day of the Lord before, out of that region I chose no city among all tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there, neither chose I any man to order my people in Israel, but I have chosen to live for it. someone calls this church old-fashioned, they break the law like their brother, because that's what we need to do. Sing those old hymns, those good old hymns, stick to the Word of God, and on with the Word of God, don't add to it. This is our foundation. This is what God teaches. This is how God tells us to be His co-laborers. This is how He tells us and teaches us to be His co-occupants. You'll keep the church. You will do marvelously. We will make Him the glory. As we look back, over the past 18 years in this church's history, and you'll see some really marvelous things and you'll have many marvelous stories to tell. Think about what's happening all of our houses, blessed with quite a lot. Blessed this morning in Sunday school. See some of the people are blessed on Wednesday night. I've just had the whole week. It's been blessing. Blessed on Pastor Al-Khaz and Susan Flash and had fellowship on But the thing is that it's a blessing to see the whole gamut of those things. And I hear of other things that are happening in the church. Praise God. That's what God's doing. I see young men wanting to serve. I see young women wanting to serve. What a blessing. And if you're not, get on board. Because it is a blessing. You know, we've got much to rejoice about in this church. We've got much to rejoice about in our church. We're growing, and praise the Lord. And I thought we were going well. We had an assistant pastor, and I'm thinking against the pumpkin. That's a problem. Maybe one day I'll be able to take on the church and I'm old and better. And I'm getting closer to my life. But God knows best. My pastor, brother said, but from the Lord, my heart said, and I said, I can't not tell him that. Because if God wants to go on here to the land up, he's got to go. And if God wants him in the land, he can't stay. Right? If he goes to the land and God doesn't want him there, that'll be a mess. If God wants him in the land and he stays, that'll be a mess. So we need to seek the Lord's will, and we do, and we pray together, and that was our prayer, hadn't it? God, if you want John to go to Melinda, we don't want him to go, but if God, you want him to go to Melinda, we don't want him to go. God, if you want him to go to Melinda, he needs to go. And he did. Praise the Lord. And I can't hear it, I say, because I've got to go to him. And I give God the glory. He's the master builder. He is the master keeper. And we need to give him the glory. Praise God for the building here, in the church, in our life, in your life. Praise God. Give thanks to him for all things. This is the word of God. Loving God, Holy Father, we thank you and praise you that you have brought this church 32 years in the making. Lord, we thank you and praise you that you have been your daughter. Lord, we thank you and praise you that you have been the keeper of this church. Thank you and praise you that you have brought godly men and women in this church to serve and to build and to watch over this church as well, to be co-laborers and to be co-watchers with you. And Lord, we give you praise and honor and glory.